I'm here again with Mark Gordon of Shiloh Christian Fellowship, and we're recording the latest podcast for the Shiloh website. Mark, recently you and the other leaders have been talking quite a bit about dealing with a guilty conscience. Why did you choose that subject to deal with?
Well, I think we've been looking at a number of issues in our Why Pray When You Can Worry series. And these were issues that are relevant to people locally, relevant to people everywhere. And guilty conscience was obviously one of those themes that we wanted to look at, one of those issues that we wanted to address, because I believe that there's not an adult on the planet that doesn't have a guilty conscience. And therefore, to say to people, why pray when you can worry about a guilty conscience, is taking our whole theme to say there is a way of dealing with a guilty conscience.
So you're saying that everybody on the planet has a guilty conscience, and I suppose if people were to think about it, they probably couldn't deny that, but they probably don't think about what conscience really is. What do you think conscience is, and what do you think a guilty conscience is?
Well, I think conscience is summed up in a number of ways. It's summed up as our own moral consciousness or our moral awareness. It's also recognized as a means of identifying how we do right or how we do wrong. It's built into every one of us. Someone described it recently in modern day language. It's like an app that God has downloaded into the heart of every human being. An app that is there to help us to choose right or to choose wrong, and it's there to remind us which choice we made.
What would you say then is a guilty conscience is?
Well, a guilty conscience is someone who has made decisions going against their conscience, when their conscience is saying, do not do this, and they choose to do that anyway. They then have a guilty conscience. So, for example, it may be that someone has a guilty conscience because they have broken the laws of the land in some shape or form. It may be that they have offended someone in their family, or they have offended another person. It may very well be that they've got a guilty conscience because they know they have done something they shouldn't have, or they haven't done something that they should have.
You were quoting Martin Luther in the talks that you were giving about how serious conscience is. We'd like to say a word about that quote.
Yeah, well, Martin Luther said that it is neither right nor safe to go against my conscience. And I think he's so true in what he's saying, is because if we go against our conscience, then we need to deal with that. Because if we do not deal with it and ignore it, we ignore it at our peril. Because conscience is there to tell us we owe a debt, and that debt has to be paid, and that there is a day of accountability when we must give account for our conscience.
One of the things that you were dealing with in the talks was that conscience is like a warning signal God puts into us to remind us that there is going to be accountability someday for what we have known to be right or wrong, that no one is going to escape that accountability. And I want to come on to that in a minute, but certainly in my experience from a medical point of view, a guilty conscience can actually have both physical and mental effects on people's lives. And you know, you've a lot of experience in dealing with a wide range of people in different life circumstances. Have you come across physical or emotional effects of a guilty conscience?
Well, I've sat at hospital beds with people who are dying, who are overwhelmed with guilt, who want to offload their guilt to me in some form of confession. And I've said to them, look, it's not me that needs to hear your confession, it's God who needs to hear your confession. And people with a guilty conscience can turn to suppressants, whether that be drugs, whether that be alcohol, or whatever means they use to try to free them from this conscience. But what I'm saying to people is, and what I have been saying is no one can get rid of their conscience. There's talk of a seared conscience. A seared conscience is all the more serious simply because people have repeatedly offended and done nothing about it and have ignored what their conscience is saying. But with conscience, it's there to remind us there is a day of accountability, a day when we must give account. There is a debt to be paid, whether that is in a human form where we have offended someone, where we should go and try to address that, seeking forgiveness and where possible restitution and reparation is made, or where the greatest debt of all is, as far as conscience is concerned, is to God. How do we deal with a guilty conscience before Almighty God?
Some people would say that the high incidence of alcoholism, or even to some extent sometimes drug addiction, or people's addiction to things like entertainment, for instance, or even shopping, can be a manifestation of trying to ease their conscience or escape from their conscience. And you were mentioning there even somebody can try and get a psychological relief by confessing to somebody else, and as you say, just unburdening their conscience. Why would you say none of those things is actually an effective way of dealing with a guilty conscience?
I think people have tried to find ways to deal with a guilty conscience. And I remember years ago, you yourself spoke about people walking down with what was then the ghetto blasters and blasting all the time and having music playing because they didn't want that silence where their conscience could possibly speak. People will try to use whatever means they can to ease their conscience or to bury their conscience. But the only way that a conscience, a guilty conscience, can be dealt with is, as God has directed, through the blood of Jesus Christ. What that means is by the death of Jesus and by faith in the death of Jesus, our hearts can be sprinkled from a guilty conscience that allows us to make our peace with God, which is the most important because that's who we owe the greatest debt to. And as a result of making our peace with God, in his love for us, he enables us then to address the guilt that we are able to address in a human terms, in our human terms, to those that we have offended.
So that's quite an interesting point you're making, because for instance, somebody might think that they might find even great psychological relief, even if they confess all their faults to God. But what you're saying is that that's not what makes a conscience clean or clear to get it off your chest. It has to be faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things you've been doing with the other leaders in teaching on this is that you haven't been teaching about conscience, but you've been offering Jesus Christ to people who are there. Now, what's the link between that?
Well, I think, you know, we live in a society, for example, where many people are happy to go to confess. I spoke about a friend of mine who murdered someone and was overwhelmed with guilt. And what he felt the answer was to go and confess this crime to the police, that would relieve the guilt from him and he would be okay. Well, he would say that he went, he confessed to the crime and finished up getting a life sentence and still felt as guilty. He wasn't cleansed from it. We have people who go in on a weekly basis to confessional boxes and confess and come out feeling a wee bit better. But the reality is that's not dealing with the guilt. God says there is only one way to deal with this guilt, and that is through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so people have to come to Jesus to have their hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. It is only that way that people can be alleviated of this guilty conscience. There's no other way.
No. This is interesting language you're using, you know, about their conscience being sprinkled clean, and that you're sort of indicating there that there's something unclean about a guilty conscience, something that, like, if we got out and got into a lot of muck or dirt or rubbish or something like that, we want to cleanse ourselves. And you're saying that a guilty conscience is something that needs to be washed clean. Is that, what are you getting at there?
Well, I think if you look at, you know, a figure that you could use here is if people are dirty, one of the things that they use to realize they're dirty is they look in a mirror and a mirror tells them they're dirty. Their conscience in that sense is like God's law that's written in people's hearts. And when they look into that mirror, it tells them they're dirty. But that mirror has absolutely no power whatsoever to cleanse them. It can't help them at all. They can break the mirror, they can ignore the mirror, they can cover the mirror up, they can pretend the mirror doesn't exist. It doesn't change the fact that they are dirty. What they need to do is find out, how can I get cleansed? And God is absolutely clear that there is only one way to be cleansed from an evil, guilty conscience, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ, because he has said the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, and going against our conscience is sin.
One of the things that is quite a highlight in the year in Shiloh Fellowship is when people are being baptized, and one of the things that you talk about then is that going down into the water and being immersed, being baptized, is a picture of being cleansed, of being washed at the start of your Christian life. Is that the kind of thing you're getting at here, that symbolizes what it means to come to God for a clean conscience?
Well, I think it's a very small part of it. If you're looking at baptism is also symbolic of dying. And so a person who puts their faith in Jesus and goes into the waters of baptism isn't only being cleansed, having their heart sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience, but they are dying in that sense and are being buried. This old person is dead and buried in Christ, and they're rising again out of the waters of baptism in the new resurrection life that Jesus gives them, where their conscience is cleansed, where they are not guilty before a holy God, and where God is no longer their judge but has become their Father.
So, and this is really, really quite serious, I suppose. What about somebody who dies with their conscience not cleansed, who dies with a guilty conscience, without a clear conscience that God has dealt with? What's the future for them?
Well, God has made clear that there is forgiveness with him for those who want it. If people choose to ignore that forgiveness, if they choose to not come to God to have their hearts sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience, then they must live for all eternity with the consequences of that, which is complete separation from the God that they have rejected in this life. It will be eternal separation from the God that they have rejected in everlasting life, and the Bible calls that hell.
Get away from the silence, but this will be an eternal